Well, welcome. I'm so glad everyone could join me today. My name is Lisa B. And since we're not terribly anonymous inside of our program, Lisa Bloomfield, I live in Arizona now. I lived in Utah. So if you get the text saying, hey, we live in Utah, I lived there for 7 years. I've actually taken a geographic to a few different places in my disease. I've lived in Texas. I'm originally from California. So I have a little bit of background anywhere. And if any of the Texan words slip through and you're like, what did she just say? I'm sorry. It just, if you know about Texas, the language eats your language. So you just get new words you didn't know existed. Thank you for joining me today. After Anne asked me to be a speaker, immediately I was like, okay, let's pray on what is going to be the topic. And my higher power was very clear on it. So I think it's a topic that doesn't get brought up as much. So it might be a little boring for you. But it's funny is that everyone was identifying as not being a newcomer. And I'm like, oh, this might not be the craziest odd thing. This is definitely a God thing, because what my higher power kept telling me he wanted me to talk about was step 12 and how it worked in my program. And so for me, my abstinence is June 1st, 2022 is the abstinence date that I have. I have been completely free of all of my obsessive food items, which for me is primarily sugar and is not something that I have allowed into my food program since then, but I was off of that a little before that. My food plan has changed a little bit over time, as I'm in my later 40s and as my body changes and as I explore different health things. So I am the kind of the person who doesn't say, like, I picked a food plan, I do the exact same thing every day. It's an ever-evolving scenario for me. But whatever it is for that day, I have been able to stay abstinent to my food plan with regards to having a health goal. And I am a member of another program. I came to OA via the doors of another program. I have been in that program for 9.5 years. And my disorder found an easier, softer way in food. It might have been the first problem. It might have been a subsequent problem. But I was in a meeting last night joking around saying that if I ate the paper cup sitting in front of me, my body would try to convert it to sugar because that's just how my body works. And so I will, but I have found there are multiple things that my brain likes to use as obsessive compulsive behaviors, whether that is zoning out playing games, whether that is watching TikTok videos, whether that is workaholism. I can be out of bounds on a lot of things. So I've been in the other program for a few years. And as I was in that program, like, I felt like I had good recovery. I felt like a day to day was doing okay, but there was still just little bits, breakthrough anger, breakthrough irritable discontent or whatever. And I'm like, I don't really know what more to do. I'd done the steps twice with my sponsor. And I just wasn't quite sure what was not great. Also, my higher power was making it very clear that financial abundance in the form of my business just taking off and skyrocketing was not in his plan at that moment, regardless of all my best efforts. And that was making me very discontent that I wasn't getting my way. And I was in meetings and I kept noticing that I was just being bombarded, much like the topic for this meeting. I was being bombarded with service opportunities. Exactly. It's the fact that you were talking about that. I was like, more, it's not odd, that was what was happening to me. We need a grapevine rep. We need a person to, chair this meeting. We need this, we need that. And there was a Sunday meeting that I was going to because they served food, and at this restaurant where the meeting was held, and ooh, that's a real good meeting to go to. And they're like, we need someone to make a 6-month commitment to being us the chairperson. And I'm like, oh, I'm way too focused on Lisa to make a 6-month commitment to come to this meeting, and then to be the chairperson. And but it kept being like laid on me and coming up, and it just kept being a thing. So finally I raised my hand and I took that service commitment. The other person who was the co-chair for that meeting ends up being my best friend to this day. Just could not have been a better experience to be that chairperson. And it kicked off getting me into a more consistent level of service. So I do become a grapevine rep. I eventually start going to treatment center meetings, and I am not thinking about me. The Lisa Show was put on temporary hold every time I got to be of service, every time I got to think about it long term. And sometimes I have to make myself go to a meeting because I'm on the autistic spectrum. And so sometimes peopling is not my first inclination, but I make a commitment. And I'm a girl who loves a good plan. So I will then show up to do my job. I will then show up. And when I have to go to a treatment center meeting, my problems cease to exist when you're talking to people who are brand new and suffering. And when I am talking, when we're getting to hear about all the opportunities we have to carry this message, if you haven't done an intergroup meeting and you don't know all the ways we can reach out to therapists and other people to try to let them know we exist, to even hang out flyers, to even try to spend an hour trying to carry this message when you're like, there's someone worse than me who needs me today. That opportunity changed my life. My program went from good to what it is today. The life I won't give up is all because I'm able to get out of my own head. And when left to my own regard for too long, I 100% will get back into selfishness. It's all about me and what I want and what am I doing. And I really have to be willing to go back to primary purpose. What is our primary purpose? And 12-step carrying that message and carrying it in all my principles and everything I do. So I made a little bullet point sheet here so I wouldn't forget because I get a little distracted sometimes. And so then the next thing that came along, I was probably about 4.5 years sober. I had been starting to do that. And all of a sudden this woman walks up to me and goes, "Will you be my sponsor?" And I was like, they haven't given me a PhD in 12-step work yet. I can't possibly be your sponsor. Like, what do I have that you might want? And she's like 2.5 years more sobriety, and you've actually worked your steps twice. And I don't know, start crazy. You're just kind of crazy. And I was like, huh. And in my head, when I think about like, what does a sponsor need to be? It was like, okay, you know, if you're going on vacation, and you're like, I need to buy one of those $10,000 packages so I can properly see the Mediterranean. They're going to take me everywhere. They're going to know all the history. They're going to tell me everything. They're going to arrange it all. It'll be perfection. The hard reality is sponsoring in this program is more like you're going to go for a walk and you're going to ask a friend. You're like, hey, I think you've done this walk once before. You want to go with me so I don't get lost, so I don't get eaten by a cougar? You're like, yeah, great. You are the person who's done a walk one more time than they have. You just kind of know what's going on. And we don't need to be so afraid of being willing to sponsor somebody. But also, if you're like, I need to find the perfect sponsor, anyone who's done a little bit more than you can provide you with information that you are then going to be able to say, I don't have to take this perfectly. I can ask other people. You can fire a sponsor if they're not great for you, but it's moving you forward. So when I decided that I accepted that person as a sponsor or a sponsee, and then I had multiple, if other people have had multiple sponsees down the line, a sponsee keeps you sober. A sponsee keeps you growing. A sponsee keeps you absolutely in tune with this program in a way that I never got that. Like, I did my steps with my sponsor, but it's not until someone new, like a child, is looking at me and going, but what does that mean? But what do you mean in the first step? And it made me read our literature in a whole new way. It made me really get into it. So this is the show and tell portion of the program. Hopefully you all have the big book printed by AA. You can get it PDF online, get it for free on AA.org if you haven't done that. You can probably pop into any AA intergroup. You can actually Google that in your area. They have a whole office. You can go in and get any of the AA stuff. You can get a soft cover big book for about $10 or $11. Or you can order it on Amazon and have it delivered to your house. But the one thing I really love is this book, OA 12 and 12. Super duper love it. It is usually the one that I like to read with people starting at the beginning. It's a little raw, which is funny, is because I come from the other program, which is way like they don't mince words, but this will definitely get to the truth of it. Those four-step questions, not messing around at the end of that four-step. So this is a great place to start for working the steps together. If you are like, I have, worked my steps, but I don't think I did them perfectly. Well, you're going to get another opportunity to really examine yourself while you're helping somebody else. So then, after, as I'm working with other people, this workbook, a little bigger. Fun fact, the workbook doesn't actually have any of the text in it, so you have to have the second book, but it's got a lot of questions. So if you don't know what to ask, if you don't know how to help prompt somebody through what they're going through, they did it for you. You can just grab this workbook and use that as a tool to help give you ideas that your conversations can start as. And even then, if you've got someone who's really, really new and they are like, I don't know what I'm supposed to be thinking or feeling or whatever, we have more workbooks. So if you are a workbook person, now, if you're of the older set, we might be like, no, we just read the book and then we just magically know how to do it. But if you are of the like 30s or something younger, I think workbooks actually really appeal. The For Today workbook, again, doesn't have the text, which is a little bit of a bummer, but you can, it has a lot of good prompting questions. And since it kind of flows with our steps, it really is a good way to sort of say, hey, if you're new, you're January, and let's just go ahead and talk about the steps and how it's working and what are we feeling for today. And it prompts the next thing. So you have a lot of tools. When I'm talking to a sponsee and they are like, I have this worldly problem. I don't know what to do with this worldly problem. I can literally pull out the Tools of Recovery pamphlet and look like I'm smart and be like, well, what have we tried? Now, the only one that I've penciled in that's not on the Tools of Recovery is, have you prayed and asked God today? He gets you just default, like with children, be like, well, what did your dad say? What did God say? That's for me. I'm like, what did God say? What did, I just it's my get out of jail free card. And so I just kick it back to him, be like, you're it. And then if you've prayed and be like, okay, so let's go through, what are the other things we use? Who else did you call? Who else did you write? Did you go to a meeting? Did you share at the meeting? Were you like really attentive? How did that make you feel? And that's stuff I should do for myself. Like, if I really think about it, it's easy to like say it to other people. But now all of a sudden, I'm like, Lisa, did you do those things today? You were upset about this thing? Did you take your own advice? I am so much more in tune with what I want my program to be because I am trying to help somebody else do the same thing. So if you find that you're like, it's good, but it's not it. Like, I feel like I come to the meetings, but I'm still not getting more. That's the more. And if you, for me, when my higher power kind of, he likes to repeat things. I like to say he repeats things because that's how I know it, not that I'm slow. When I'm hearing things multiple times, that's how my higher power is communicating to me. And so if there's something in your program that you're like, and if it comes to intergroup, if it comes to being of service in this meeting, even the bit willingness to read, the willingness to those couple things. And I have found, like, even at 6 months sober, like a newcomer, I'm like, what are you going to do for somebody else today? What are you going to do beyond yourself today? Because it's so easy to get stuck on our own pity party. It's just a really great way. I mean, even if I plan on going to a meeting and be like, I would really like to offer to read today. I would really like to make myself be a door greeter. There's nothing I hate more than trying to be a door greeter, because I don't want to talk to people. And so I will just kind of tell myself, you need to do something today. And then if I'm ever like too disgruntled to like do work or to do something else, then I'm like, okay, well, we're going to go through it. We're either going to use our own tools of recovery, or we're going to reach out. We're going to, I get to be a secretary in a general service in the other program. And in that, I'm like, you can type your minutes, you can work on the agenda, you can send out that informational stuff to the other people, just helping carry that message. It was through that, trying to do general service, that I found out there was an area an hour south of me that didn't have a meeting for that other program, and they desperately need a 12-step meeting. So me and a bunch of other people are making a 1 hour trek south once a week to try to start a meeting in this area. So in OA, as a primarily online, helping spread the message that we're still around, that we're still there, that we could even be in person. If there's an in-person meeting that's struggling, you're like, for 1 month, I could make myself go for 1 month and offer to chair, to co-chair, to help set up, to just be a little bit of a commitment. And when you see one newcomer walk in, you're like, God want me to help that one person. And I'm an accountant. I've never saved anybody in accounting. I've never helped anybody not want to commit suicide for that day. Accounting. It's not how it works. I've had them yell at me because they think the IRS is bad, but I've never had it do for me what this program will do. This program is God program, and then everything else. And so I can never be too busy to do this, because I can easily give it, get rid of it. God can, let me give it away. So if you are, I hope that was helpful. And it looks like I am done with my time. So I kind of think the meeting is carrying the message. Like, if I had to pick a topic, I think it's carrying the message. And if anyone else has done other service, even outside of the program, I think that'd be a great, like, subtopic to that. So thanks.